The first thing is a London version of Flower Drum Song. That opens there March 24th. And we'll get there approximately two weeks before it opens.
Yeah. This is with an American cast or?
No, no. All British. What's
the date again?
March 24th.
25th
at the Palace Theatre. 25th
at the Palace Theatre, London. Mr. Hammerstein, did Sound of Music, has it as yet come up to expectations as far as your hopes were concerned?
Oh, yes, indeed. We both love that show very much, and I think it's all that we try to do with it has been realized.
Wondered whether you agreed as far as the public response was concerned.
Well, it'd be hard to disagree with that. Public response is what it is, so it isn't even a question of opinion or feeling. It's a question of looking at the number of people who go in there every night, and it's as many as the fire department allows.
So, I was going to say that some composers and playwrights, of course, are thrilled if they have almost a sellout on any given night. How do you judge a show when it's a sellout? By the length of advance sale? By how many years it runs as a sellout?
Well, you mean, you don't know how many years it's going to run until it's closed, but you can judge a sellout by the number of people who come up and keep buying more tickets months in advance, and that's the way we judge this. We came in with as you know, a record-breaking advance, but although we have nothing on sale before June and July, which is a discouraging thing to tell people when they write or come to the box office, they're buying for June and July, and we have sold tickets into September and October of next year.
Don't you think one of the nice things about it is what happens at matinees? This always amuses me and makes me feel very happy that during intermission and at the end of the show, a line forms at the box office composed of people who've been seeing the show. They're buying tickets for relatives and friends, and a great many of them are repeat buyers. This is one of the ways you tell to answer your other question.
Of course, you two gentlemen have perhaps been the most successful pair in recent American theater history in the field of musical comedy. But all your shows haven't been as successful as some of the recent ones. Were there any real disappointing Rodgers and Hammerstein shows, as far as you were concerned, shows that you thought were going to produce and go much better than they did?
Oh, yes. Pipe Dream is a very disappointing play to us. And Me and Juliet, even though they didn't lose money, they didn't come off as we wanted them to, and probably they couldn't have. I mean, when you make up your mind what play you're going to write, the doom of it is sealed right there, or its future is assured no matter what happens, because you have either picked something that you like and that the public is going to like too, or something that you love and the public will not be so affectionate toward.
I was going to say that there's always the question asked of you two gentlemen, which comes first, the music or the lyrics? I won't ask that question, but I was going to ask which comes first, the public taste for a particular area in musical comedy or a particular storyline, or the Rodgers and Hammerstein story?
Well, I think the thing that you like as an individual is the only criterion that you can possibly follow. I'm sure the disaster lies in trying to give the public what you think the public wants.
You don't
have to give them what you want and hope that they want it too.
As a matter of fact, I feel very strongly about that suspicion or superstition that a group of expert showmen get together and say, what do the public want? Let's give it to them. Number one, they don't know what the public wants, and number two, they don't know how to give it to them. Your only chance is to go ahead blindly with blind faith in your own judgment and hope that the public agrees. There's no other formula.
That's right.
You've had a pretty good score so far over the years. Has public taste in musical comedy changed appreciably since, let's say, since Oklahoma? What would you, how would you outline these changes in the reception to your plays and to musical comedy in general?
Well, I think that Oklahoma itself has something to do with changing the public taste and also changing the aims of other authors and composers. We don't believe in trends. We don't believe that the public arbitrarily starts to like something and not something else. Because as a matter of fact, the public likes all kinds of plays if they're good, if they're good examples of their own classification. But certainly since Oklahoma, the public have gone to plays that had more legitimate stories and books with more legitimate characterizations in them. That hasn't stopped them from going to a more frivolous, review-like entertainment if it's good. So we don't believe there are trends of public taste. The public likes good shows.
Of course, you gentlemen have somewhat devoted a great deal of your time to particular motifs, taking South Pacific and some of the other plays to a kind of local feeling rather than a general American feeling. Perhaps I'm not making myself clear, but of course Oklahoma itself, the locale was specific. South Pacific, you had a specific locale with a whole area of musical feeling surrounding it. Sound of Music, would you call that a broader...
No, there's a specific area there. That's in Austria at a certain time. I think all the backgrounds are specific. You'd be lost if you didn't have a specific background, unless you were telling a fantastic story.
Well, the question I guess I was asking was, could anyone perhaps look to Rodgers and Hammerstein and say that they reflected a kind of Americana concept?
Like The King and I?
And, I guess not, you see, that's it.
And The Sound of Music, which is Austrian.
Our first two were Oklahoma and Carousel, and both had a very American feeling. And South Pacific, although it's laid in the South Pacific, is certainly American. But many of the others did not.
I wondered whether I could ask you finally whether or not you two had any violent disagreements in past years over perhaps any interesting
profit,
incidents,
for instance.
No, not profit necessarily, but
no,
any
I didn't
violent
disagreements. I said a carpet.
I see.
That was the big Gilbert and Sullivan fight. No, we've never had any fights.
I don't think we've ever had a fight.
In outlining perhaps a storyline as compared to what Mr. Rodgers might have felt was the musical feeling. Do you ever have that kind of disagreement?
No.
That couldn't happen because from the very beginning we're talking about storyline together. I don't present him any finished product. He's a collaborator on the book with me, on the story, on the characterization, as a composer should be, because he has to express it in music as I have to in words. So there are no, I have no surprises for him. Whatever comes along develops with us both present.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Somebody ask it, I wanted to ask, do you go to see any other musicals besides your own? I know your own can keep you pretty busy looking at it, but...
Oh, yes, we see every musical.
You see every other one?
Sure.
Seen Fiorello?
Yes.
Gypsy?
Yes, sure, everything.
Mr. Rodgers, when I asked you before...
You think Gypsy represented... Oh, go ahead.
When I asked you before... about what to have you on the fire, I meant what new, brand new.
Nothing brand new.
The only other thing
that we're going to do is a new version of State Fair, which is a picture we did 15 years ago. And there'll be some new songs in it.
Do you have any launching date for that?
You better ask 20th Century Fox.
That's up to the moving picture company.
But this will be a movie, not
a broadcast.
No, that's right.
It's a little early for us to have plans. We just opened.
You
have any sold out the June and July? Sold through June and July.
Well, it's sold up to June and July, and we're selling for June and July.
Well, they're selling to,
I think
they have seats at the box office until the 1st of January, and they're selling in all the way in there. But I don't think there's anything much that you can buy before summer. But try anyway.
I have to wait till it comes here. I mean, that was another question I wanted to ask you. What is it, superstition or luck that you always take the shows to Boston and New Haven and never come to Philadelphia, although you're both sort of... local talent, you might say.
No, we have nothing. We certainly like Philadelphia. It so happens that we are geared and used to opening plays in New Haven and then Boston. It's not superstition. It's being used to that kind of reaction
And it just has fallen that way.
Do you find, you say this kind of a superstition, do you find that there are other...
Not superstition.
Is this characterized, your work as it develops together? Do you have any formula, or is there, from whence do you draw your inspiration? Does this come from either one of you, from both of you? Does it develop?
It comes from a basic idea. Do you want to do a show about the Trapp family? And this is your springboard, and we both work from that taking off point.
Incidentally, how did you get an idea like that, man?
It came from the star. Mary Martin
brought to us.
Yeah? Wasn't our idea.
No, I mean, it seemed like a weird one. Hmm?
Well, you get kind of weird ones, especially if you listen to other people.
You get them more weird than that.
the thing that I'm primarily concerned with is that Philadelphia, of course, is pretty well equipped with theaters, much better than Boston now. The standpoint of time and everything.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with Philadelphia.
And it seems like you have some kind of discrimination. And I mean, since both of you more or less identify with a neighboring county, you're...
No, I'm the other way.
Oh, you're the other way?
You might blame that on me.
He's a Canadian.
Because I live in Connecticut part of the time. But that has nothing to do with it at all.
Not because it's...
No, it's simply a question of having gone to a certain shoe store for your shoes for so many years. It doesn't mean that you don't like the other fellow's shoes.
Well, it certainly means something to Philadelphia, because they get South Pacific about 5 years later, and they'll probably get the Trapp family after the poor Trapp family are all gone. And
on the other hand, Boston complains because they don't see the finished product.
Well,
to say you try it out on us, and you make all your mistakes up here, and we have to pay to see you rectify the mistakes. On the other hand, if we went to Boston a couple of years later, they'd see the finished show.
You got any productions that have never come to fruition that perhaps someday might come through if the inspiration permits their conclusion?
No, I can't think of any.
No.
If we're not doing them, there's a good reason for not doing them. We have no ideas that we think would be great, only we're not doing it.
You must have some, though,
that you started
on in the past and have sort of been left unfinished.
We have discussed some ideas, but nothing that if we are enthusiastic, we go ahead. There's nothing to stop us.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not, then we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any new stars in the musical writing galaxy? Young people who might someday, in your estimation, achieve?
In the first place, I would say that blind if I hadn't been around. You know, there always are. There always, and there are a great many young people with talent.
So the musical is not going to die after right after Hammerstein?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
You mentioned that you just, of course, started one going, Sound of Music. What's your average timetable? Is there any average of the length of time? About a year to put together.
Well, we've never done two shows in 2 years before. This is the first time. Flower Drum and then Sound of Music the very next year. It's always been at least 2 years between openings.
So you're beginning to accelerate your pace.
No, it just fell that way.
Because
they had commitments.
Yeah.
And we said we would go to work on this immediately after Flower Drum.
Of course, less successful teams, so to speak, have their problems in getting backing for a venture. Have you ever had that problem in recent years?
Not since Oklahoma.
Get an idea going. That did it, huh?
Yeah.
What about before Oklahoma?
Many problems.
Was that your first?
Oklahoma, though. That's the first one we did together.
What were some of the...
Trying to get money was very difficult. The Guild almost didn't get the money. We were going around like strolling players, giving auditions from one drawing room to another.
What are the chances of the musical on as TV fare? Has this been explored at all?
Well, we wrote one original musical, Cinderella.
Apart from that,
and
the popular, the ones that have... become so well known on Broadway and even in the movies.
I think eventually they would get to television.
It's a little early to to know about any of that. Television is about 10 or 11 years old. South Pacific is 10 years old. and still can't be made available for television. Because the moving picture has just been out a couple of years, and the moving picture is doing tremendous business.
And
therefore, you can't put it on the air.
And it's very alive on the stage. It's playing all over in all the stock company houses all summer long.
Some of the rating services have indicated that musical fare on television in general, speaking now of motion pictures, seem to do less well than other kinds of entertainment. Do you find any reason for that? Would you agree that this is a problem, the musical on television?
Well, no, it hasn't been tried very much. I mean, compared to the efforts at dramatic shows, there have been very few efforts to produce original musical shows on television.
Well, rather than original, I mean, perhaps reruns.
They're more difficult to do, that's all. More difficult, more expensive. And I think most of those who are writing musical shows would prefer to do them for the theater because it's a little bit heartbreaking to do a show, play your songs once, one night, and there it is. You forgot you even did it the next day. It's not as satisfying or gratifying as doing musicals for the theater.
Would you agree that perhaps a musical becomes stale more quickly when produced, let's say, years later, such as a musical motion picture brought back to television 10, 15, 20 years after it was originally performed in the movies?
No, I think you feel it a little more on kind of the costume situation. The girls look a little silly, in the 15-year-old clothes. And I think you're less inclined to give them credit for doing a period piece in 15 years than you are with a dramatic show.
South Pacific held up, didn't it? I mean, that was a...
Yeah, he's talking about television.
Oh. I thought you meant the movie.
You're talking about releasing...
Releasing it on television, especially in the musical field. There seemed to have been hesitation in that.
Do you have any other movie planned? I mean,
no.
Nothing since South Pacific?
No, that was the last one.
I mean, you people were in on the production of that one.
Mm-hmm.
If you did, had another movie, would you be in on the production of it?
Sure.
I mean, you wouldn't make an outright sale.
No.
How many countries are your productions being performed on the stage? Have you any idea?
At the present moment, I don't know. We've had times when we had more going. We played in the Scandinavian states and throughout Europe, Australia, South Africa, England. Canada.
How many languages has Oscar Hammerstein lyrics been translated
into?
Really not
so many. Some of the European languages and the Scandinavian languages. The King and I has never been done in Siamese.
We've had ballet and musical exchanges with the Russians. Do either of you see such an exchange on the musical comedy level with the lighter entertainment in a serious way?
Well, I don't see why not. I don't see why that shouldn't develop.
There aren't on foot at the moment, however,
no.
Any plan.
No.
Well, there is a rumor that they're going to do My Fair Lady in their own version in Russia, but that isn't what we call an exchange, is it?
Have you ever done a show on the political motif?
I don't know whether you ever have. I did one.
Yes, you did.
Years ago, I did a show with George M. Cohan playing Franklin Roosevelt called I'd Rather Be Right. But that was in 1935 or 6.
Think you might ever consider one if the right idea came along?
Sure. It's the right idea. We're not against anything.
Okay. Thanks very much.